Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
This morning, as we kind of delve into the scripture, I kind of want you to be thinking about that side of it too, that there is a real powerful key that God has given us in our lives to be able to overcome and live victoriously in Christ. And we're going to see it right here in Colossians chapter 3:17. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Amplified. "And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him." Praise God. That's a powerful statement. And what it does is it causes our life, whatever we say, whatever we do, to be done all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's quite an accountability. You know, sometimes as far as questioning, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Could I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? You know, is this crossing any lines? Well, you know, could I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I do this with a conscience toward God? That, you know, if Jesus were here, this would be fine. There's an accountability in that verse that really acts as a great guideline, you know, that really saves us from a bunch of commandments and do's and don'ts and all that kind of stuff. It's just a guideline. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just a good guiding principle. And for me, when I would see that, I'd see other scriptures along this, doing things in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, what does that mean? The name of the Lord Jesus. And as I would learn about who I am in Christ and really come over into, you know, finding out some of the exceeding great and precious promises of God and what belongs to me as a believer, I could understand and get excited about concepts like the blood of Jesus, because I could, you know, I could see in my mind's eye the blood of Jesus in a tangible way and know that there was something very precious about that blood that had the ability to cleanse me of all sin. That's a concrete thing. Or even the Word of God. A concrete book. The promises of God in Him are yes and amen. And that through these exceeding great and precious promises, I partake of the divine nature, I overcome. The Word of God is, again, it's something concrete, tangible. I can see it, I can look at it, I can read it, I can pick it up. You know, it's a blessing that I can kind of wrap my mind around in a way that, you know, blesses me. The one thing that I would hear about continually repeated, you know, and people would say, man, we've got the blood of Jesus, yeah, we got the Word of God, yeah, and we got the name of Jesus. And on the inside, I'm going, yeah, yeah. The name of Jesus. What does that mean? What am I going to do with that? I know what to do with this. I know, I understand the blood. I understand, you know, but what am I going to do with the name of Jesus? How does that work in my life? You know, at Door of Life, we have kind of our little slogan is where faith meets real life. We, in our heart, we endeavor to take spiritual concepts and principles and bring them back down to real life in a real practical way that we understand what they mean. That they're not just theology that we espouse to, but that it's really the living Word of God that I live by. And this morning, I really just felt impressed in my heart to minister along the lines of the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus really is powerful. If there's something on the inside of you going, yay, the name of Jesus, that's right. That's the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to understand a little bit more why the Spirit of God rejoices at that name. And what does that mean to me in my practical everyday living and living for God and living for Jesus? How do I apply the name of Jesus to my everyday life? How do I do that? And what does that mean? Well, one of the things that we've got to understand, first of all, kind of even before we delve into it, is that when we're talking about a name and the name of Jesus, it doesn't work like You know, it's not like a lucky rabbit's foot or a magic, you know, abracadabra or an enchantment type thing where you just kind of say something or, you know, something like that. When it comes to the name of Jesus, there's faith and there's trust in that name, which is what we're going to look at. But the way a person gets access to a name, a great name, there's a few different ways. Somebody could achieve it. They could do amazing things. You know, you look at people, well, you take a Bill Gates or somebody like that. You've done all these things and they're rich. But yeah, and you look at how they develop different things and they have a name because of what they did. All right? Or Steve Jobs or whoever it is. You know, you can look at different people that have done things that have achieved a status and they've got a great name, a name that you respect because of what they've done. And there are other people who have a great name because they were born into it, all right? In other words, you're the children of somebody who is great, and so you have this name. I remember the story about a minister is talking about a Rockefeller, you know? He's a pilot, and he said this guy Rockefeller, you know, he was the son or daughter of the Rockefeller, the main one. And he said, you know, he was a pilot, and I don't know if he lived in New York or whatever, but his dentist was in Memphis. So he'd fly him to his dentist in Memphis, you know, but his name was Rockefeller. You know, he didn't ask any questions. He just did what they told you to do. You know, you're born into a great name. And so when it comes to us and the name of Jesus and the power and the privilege of the name of Jesus, it's not a name that we have received through our own accomplishments or merits. It's not like I did something in all my great works and now I have the credential of the name of Jesus. No, we were actually born into that great name. Or rather, we were born again into that name. All right? When you were born again, we say born again so much, I think sometimes we almost can get inoculated to what it really means. When you're born again, and you look at what the Scripture says, what happens at the point in time you call upon the name of the Lord and make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on that you can't see with these eyes. One thing that happens is you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Spiritually, you change locations. On the inside, the old man, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And not only that, but if you're of him, the Bible says that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that simple act of calling upon his name has caused me spiritually now. The Bible says, I was by nature a child of wrath. I am now by nature a child of God, born again on the inside. So all this stuff happens behind the scenes, and a lot of times this is the kind of stuff you may not have heard about growing up. You may have not got this stuff in some of the mainline denominationals of Christianity. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I'm just saying this is the kind of stuff that was new to me. I realized that, man, I am in the kingdom of God. I'm in my spirit. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of my spirit. Man, things are different. I'm a different person. You know, I like the passage in Peter where it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You were born again into this amazing place, born again into spiritual blessings in heavenly places, born again into the exceeding greatness of his promises, born again into a whole bunch of stuff. And so one of the things that you're born again into is the ability and the right to the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. It's the way we've got to kind of almost renew our mind as to what really happened when we got born again. And so as we look this morning at the name of Jesus and what all that means, impacts, how it affects our everyday life, we're going to look at several aspects of the name of Jesus and how I apply his name to my everyday life. First of all, praying in Jesus' name. Jesus said in that day, in resurrection day, when he ascended into heaven. He says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believe that I came forth from God. Praise God. What is Jesus saying? He is saying that you are going to be praying, you're going to be asking. In your prayers, you're going to be asking in my name. That's a powerful thing, when I'm asking the Heavenly Father. And this is a real key too when you're praying, is when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's what Jesus said, how it would work. You know, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And so as we're praying for things, and there are things that we pray for, there are things that we need, there are things that we petition God that is right and appropriate to petition God. It's absolutely right and okay to petition God for finances, for healing, for wisdom, direction, understanding. These are things that we all need from God as we're walking by faith, as we're living by faith. And as we do it, it's important to realize that the reason I can do it is because I have his name. Jesus told me, he said, whatever, verse 23, you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, of course, that's conditioned, you know, by other scripture as well, too. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So there are two things that we see going on here. We ask the Father in Jesus' name, and we also ask according to his will. All right, what does that mean in real life as far as the will of God? Well, the will of God, first and foremost, is the Word of God. If I'm asking for something that's outside the Word of God, then I'm not asking according to the will of God. And as I'm praying, you know, here's an example, you know, where it says in James chapter 1, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, and so there is one thing right there. I can pray for wisdom. The Bible says in James 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The Lord will save this, you know, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. There's another aspect of I can see in the Word of God, the will of God, of something that I can pray for and ask in Jesus' name. You know, so I'm asking in accordance with his will, and it says this is the confidence that we have. So my confidence and my trust is in the name of Jesus. And as you think about the name of Jesus, and you think about how that name is really given to us and conferred upon us, it's very similar to the way you would have authority to write. Let's say, you know, we have our checking accounts, our individual personal checking accounts. But let's just say you're part of a business or a corporation. Well, it's with me right now with Door of Life. We have a church checkbook. All right, and I have an authorized signature to be able to sign church checks. Okay, I can sign that church check, and that check is backed by the resources of the church's checking account, not my checking account. Yet my name will release those resources that are backed. Why? Because I'm an authorized signer on that account. The name of Jesus makes you an authorized signer that releases the resources of heaven on your behalf. That's a very powerful, important thing to understand. So when I'm saying, Father, in Jesus' name, he's given me his name. He's given me authorization to request. That's what a check is. It's a request. You know, you are submitting something in exchange. And when we have power in his name, and that's what Jesus said. He said, in that day, you'll ask me nothing, whatever you ask the Father. And look what he says. Now, until now you've asked me nothing, ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. You know, there is something very powerful. I know people can take this and spin it as selfish. It is not selfish. There is nothing selfish about asking God for things, especially in time of need. We need to ask God. We need absolutely to petition God. It's the most humbling form of humbling that you can do is when you come before God and say, Lord, help me. Father, I need this in Jesus' name. I'm asking you for it. When you look in the book of James, it says, you have not because you ask not. There are things we don't have simply because we don't ask. And that's a great thing to kind of ask yourself sometime. If there's an area that you're lacking something, you can say, Have I asked about this? I don't know what to do in the situation. Have I asked for wisdom? I need healing. Have I asked for healing? I need finances. Have I just on purpose asked? Ask, seek, knock. God loves asking, seeking, knocking. And the coolest thing about when you ask and you receive, what does he say? That your joy may be full. When you ask for something, there is something greater than the receiving of the thing you asked for. It's knowing that God heard your prayers. Have you ever done that? Had a little blessing book where you just kind of wrote in some things that you asked for, dated it, and then when you received it, go back and fill in and say, yes, on this date I received such and such. You would be amazed at how much you've already received just asking on purpose. Ask in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Man, I can. The Bible says, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, he'll supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Praise God. He has given me access by his name to ask. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I just pray a revelation of the power and the importance of asking, that you would just see that. There are things that we are this close to breakthroughs on things simply because we're not asking. And a false sense of, no, I'm asking, Father. I need you. In Jesus' name, give me the direction. Give me the wisdom. Father, I'm asking you. That is such an important key when it comes to praying using the name of Jesus. Here's a key, too, as we look at praying. You know, 1 Timothy 2, it says, therefore I exhort first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator, and there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is such a powerful passage of Scripture, too. We see here in verse 1 and 2 that God commands us to pray for those who are in authority. To pray for those who are in authority, what? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's important to realize, as I am praying and I'm asking for things to be done, and this goes beyond, there's a praying for your personal needs, but there's also a praying beyond your personal needs where you're praying for your nation, you're praying for other people. There's a lot of forms of praying that take place in Jesus' name. And as we're praying in Jesus' name, and this is something that I think is really important, because I think in the last 30 to 40 years, as I've observed, the church has gotten very political in the point where it's almost gotten so government-focused that we kind of lose sight of the power of the name of Jesus. Do you understand? I pray for those who are in authority, for kings, my president, different things like that. But you got to understand, kings and those who are in authority, they are not my mediator in prayer. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's not the kings and those who are in authority. It's the man, Christ Jesus. I pray faith in Jesus' name and things get done in the earth. I pray for those who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. But you understand, and as the apostles understood, sometimes people who are in authority, you know, are righteous and the people rejoice. Sometimes they're not. But whether the people who are in authority are righteous or not, whether they get it or they don't get it, God's will be done in the earth. It will be done. And we saw that in the apostles' life, where they were going to preach in the name of Jesus. They got arrested and they were commanded, don't you ever preach again in that name. That's the law we're laying down on you. And they said, well, look, you got to decide for yourself whether it's right for us to believe God or believe man. And right after that episode, they go and they have a prayer session in Jesus' name. They said, and this is the apostles praying after they were released. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You understand? I can pray for things to get done in the earth, and God can confirm things with signs and wonders and with his power. All right? It doesn't hinge on a vote for me. It hinges on the name of Jesus and faith in that name. And the glorious church that Jesus is coming back for is a church that knows how to use his name fearlessly and in faith. And things will get done. Period. Don't need a permission slip to do the will of God in the earth. Things are going to get done by faith in Jesus' name. Jesus is so bold. He says, when he's talking to him about prayer, his disciples, he says, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore," now he's going to bring this around to prayer. I'm saying that to say this. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." The strong, authoritative church that uses its weapons that are not carnal but that are mighty through God, faith in God in the name of Jesus, is getting things done in the earth. Praise God. One mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. Do I pray for those who are over me in authority? Yes. Do I pray over, you know, things, you know, for a bill to get passed, for favor over things? Yeah, that's great. But I'm telling you what, I'm praying his will be done. I'm praying the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the earth. And you notice that when the apostles prayed, they weren't praying, "Oh, now, Lord, I just pray that, you know, that we'll just have a, you know, that the council will let us preach in your name, you know. Lord, I pray that you'll pray." They could pray for him, "Lord, change their hearts." You know, if I was to pray for my president, I'll give you an example, praying for President Obama. It would sound like this. I'm kind of giving you some precept and example this morning. Say, "Heavenly Father, I pray for President Obama. I pray, Father, if he is not genuinely born again, if he doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that he will come to know you. I pray the light of the glorious gospel will shine into his heart, that he will see his sinful condition, call upon your name and receive the grace, the transforming new birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have the Holy Spirit live in his heart. I pray for his salvation, Father God. If he doesn't know you, that he will come to know you. I pray, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into his life. And I pray, Father, as the president of this country, that you will give him eyes to see and ears to hear the things that you want to do in and through this nation. Father, I pray that there would be a presence of the Holy Spirit there, right there, where he's at, leading and guiding him, Heavenly Father. I just pray that there would be witnesses, Father, of your will being accomplished before him, that he would sense it, perceive it through other people. Lord, I pray for him. I pray for him as a person, that he knows you. I pray for him as a leader, Father, that you will give him wisdom in guiding this nation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." All right? And so I want him, what does the scripture say? You know, even in connection with kings and authority, he desires all men to be saved. Some of those are going to be the kings and those who are in authority. You know? So you're going to be praying for people. Praise God. And when you begin to pray for people and begin to lift up people in the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. Now, it's not a power of witchcraft. Do you understand? I don't pray and force people to do things against their will. It's not some weird voodoo type thing. God, you just realize he doesn't work that way. God is a gentleman, you know, and he gives people tremendous opportunities because he's so graceful and merciful. But at some point, if people sow to the flesh, they will reap if they don't change. God can and does remove leaders and get leaders out of place and put other leaders in place as the church prays. As the church prays for godly leaders. And as the church prays. But ultimately, God's will is getting done on this earth with or without a bill. It's not hinged on a bill. There's one mediator, God and man, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is the confidence. If I'm asking according to his will, I know he hears me. If I know he hears me, it's done. Period. It's done. That's it. As I begin to pray for, you know, where Jesus said, "Have faith in God." You know, whoever says to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and the Senate votes right, it will be cast into the sea. Nope. I don't need a Senate majority to get my mountain cast into the sea. I need faith in Jesus Christ. The church needs faith in Jesus Christ in that name that is above every name. That is it. And that's the church that Jesus is building. And upon that,
the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Gates of hell prevail against political structures every day. Topple. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the church, the power, the name of Jesus, we have to put first things first. I pray for those who are in authority. Love them. Want to see things happen. Want to see God work through them. But whether they yield or whether they don't yield, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Get in, get out, or get run over. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, and I want them, you know, I'm sure the apostles said, Lord, I just pray for the Sanhedrin, for the Pharisees. I just pray, Lord, they'd come on and get on board. We'd love for them to be supporting, but whether they do or whether they don't, you decide. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I'm not all hinged on a vote. It's going to happen because I'm praying in Jesus' name. It's going to happen because of the Word of God. You understand? There's a part that politics have a part to play, but they're not our focus. They're not our mediator between God and man. I don't have to go through the political process to get His will done. There's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Am I praying according to His will? This is the confidence that I have. Am I praying according to His will? Do I have His word on it? Praise God, then His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My faith is in the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. And I'll tell you what, especially when it gets to political things, it is very popular for political leaders and politicians to want to galvanize the base and say a lot of rhetoric and threatening rhetoric to galvanize the base. And it's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. See through it. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You do and you pray as He directs you to pray. Keep your spirit right. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. The wrath of man is not one of your weapons that are powerful through God. Faith in the name of Jesus is. That's what's going to get things done. There is power when we pray in faith in Jesus' name. Also resisting in Jesus' name. This is another area too where, you know, we just talk about the enemy, the devil, you know, things like that. Kind of another area for me, to be quite honest, it's kind of foreign. You know, I mean, I guess I knew that there was a devil. There was Satan. But as far as what does that mean in everyday life? You know, resisting the devil. Where does, you know, I get up this morning, what am I going to do? One of the things you got to realize that, yes, there is a devil. I mean, 1 Peter 5 says, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's true, the devil exists. But before we even delve into talking about the devil or resisting and things like that, you've got to realize that every day you live is not another day to fight the devil. It's another day to live for God. And if the devil gets in your way, you resist him. In other words, I'm not looking unto Satan to see what he's going to do to me today. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I am focused on Him. I am focused on His Word. And I'm loving Him. But because you're in this world and you have an adversary, at times you're going to get attacks. There are going to be things that come against you. There is a wrestling that goes on. Sometimes it's just wrestling thoughts. Sometimes there's outright attacks where it's like everything you do. Oh, I didn't want to get out of bed this morning because every little thing that could go wrong, what is that, Murphy's Law? Everything that could go wrong does go wrong. If you begin to see some things, it's kind of like, you know, there may be an attack going on here. There are times in your life where you begin to experience things, and it's just not bad luck. It's very deliberate attacks that the enemy will have on your life. The Apostle Paul experienced that. You can go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He bullet points. And this is not a man, an unlucky guy. These are things where he said, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. What is the word buffet? It means to strike with repeated blows. And you can see all the individual blows listed right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There are going to be times and seasons where you experience that. Jesus experienced that in the wilderness. And he had where he resisted the devil those three times. And the Bible says, you know, finally he said, away from me, Satan. You worship the Lord and Him only shall you serve. And the Bible says Satan left him for a season. Okay, and so you'll sometimes experience in your own life, there, it seems like there are seasons where you experience demonic attack and the seasons where it's not the same. But anyway, right now, this morning, I want to talk about the name of Jesus as it relates to resisting. There are going to be times in your life where you have to resist. Why do I have to resist? Because the Scripture tells me I have to resist. Before we talk about how to resist and all that, I just want to understand how the name of Jesus gives us the ability to resist, okay? Colossians 1:13, the scripture says, this is just a few different translations, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and this is talking about what happens at the new birth, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. All right, we talked about this before. I receive Jesus, I go from that kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of God. I go from the family of Satan into the family of God. I'm born again, not just to have a status of a born-again status. I am born again literally in my spirit into a new spiritual family, the family of God. The Father has delivered us, drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's the Amplified. The message says, God rescued us from the dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son He loves so much. There is something that happens to you on the inside. I'm telling you what, it's not something you can see with your eyes, but if you could experience for a moment of time your old spirit back in you, if I could take the Holy Spirit out of you and put the old man back in you, and you could be consciously aware of it, you'd be crying for that new man. You don't even, you get so acclimated to the new man and who you are, it's hard to understand the contrast and the difference. Huge difference. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are born again. Something very powerful, very wonderful. What does that mean? You went from Satan's turf to God's turf. When you were over here, it was not trespassing for Satan to come against your mind and to fight you. You were his. But once you got conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, once you got put over into this kingdom, Satan has no legal right to you. It's trespassing for him to come against you. It's not right. You're not part of his kingdom. But is he a trespasser? Yeah. He'll steal, kill, and destroy anything you'll let him get away with. But you got to realize who you are. You got to realize what kingdom you're in. And you got to realize you have a legal right to exercise that authority in Jesus' name and not allow him access, because you don't belong there. You don't belong there spiritually. You're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where you live. When Jesus was on the cross, we're getting ready to celebrate Easter, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise God, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Praise God. We think about that, we celebrate that, the forgiveness of sin. But He goes on to say, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. One of the things that He did on the cross, He not only took upon Himself all of our sins and became sin, and so that we could be forgiven, but He also, at the cross, He disarmed principalities and powers. All right? He broke their power. He broke their authority. All those principalities and powers had been on Him, I mean, since he was born. I mean, Herod's going after Him, trying to kill Him. I mean, the enemy has been after Him, after Him, after Him, after Him. And the enemy could not beat Him. He could not defeat Him. And the power of the name of Jesus, not only did His blood have that cleansing power of sin, but His name now has the authority over every name. He disarmed principalities and powers. That means His name is victorious. It has power and strength over everything and anything that would come against you. In other words, whatever power or principality you want to say, you know, we're in the March Madness, everybody's doing their brackets and things like that, teams versus teams. Well, you could take any power principality versus the name of Jesus, and it's not close. The Bible says that when He raised Jesus from the dead, He raised them far above all powers and principalities and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The name of Jesus is above every name. Every power, principality was disarmed. We're talking about why we have authority. In other words, if I was to say, you have the forgiveness of sins, you say, well, why is that? Well, because Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, and that shed blood paid the price for the forgiveness of sins. He did something else at the cross. He disarmed principalities and powers. There is a reason why when I resist powers and principalities in the name of Jesus, that they have to flee, because they've been disarmed. They've been disarmed at the cross, at the work that He did. He redemptively took my punishment for sin and he redemptively disarmed principalities and powers. He did that for me. Important to realize that. There's a basis for that authority. Once I understand the basis, praise God, then I exercise that authority. My signing privileges in the resources of my account not only include the forgiveness of sins, but also the disarming of principalities and powers. I have authority over those principalities and powers. So as we go forward, you know, just in just understanding, you know, resisting in the name of Jesus Christ, we see clearly here in the Word, Jesus kind of gave us a heads up that we would have this power and authority. He said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay? Now, it's important to realize that these signs follow those who believe. Praise God. Why will they cast out demons in my name? Because they have authority to do it. In my name, he says. In my name. There is authority in that name to do it. In his name. Here's an example where we see it happening. This is the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey. He was in Philippi. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. She did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. And that's the way it is. When you're dealing with the demonic attack, it will annoy you. Okay? You can kind of sense that there is a buffeting. There is just something that is coming against you. It's not right. It's not good. All right? And this is the way it works. He said, now you'll notice, he was very quick. How long does it say, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her? Not long. He just said it in faith. He said it with faith in that name. When he said that, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, she was set free. He had faith in that name. That's what set her free. Not because he was an apostle, but because he put faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We're all called, as we find out in the Word of God, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, too. Put the word too in there, wouldn't hurt it, because he's talking to believers here. So be subject to God, amplified, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Not only would that spirit come out in the name of Jesus for Paul, but he'll also flee from you, too. All right? You have the ability in Jesus' name to resist things. In the spirit. You can fuss with things. You can get worked up about things. You can get on a mental, spiritual merry-go-round about things. There's no power in that. But there's power in the name of Jesus. This can be intellectually very frustrating sometimes. Because you want to try to intellectually figure it out or work it out. I'm telling you what, when it comes to mind games, Satan is the master at mind games. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. Neomata, I believe, is the word. It literally means mind games. Satan is the master of mind games. We don't want to go toe-to-toe with him with mind games. He's had practice for millennium on people just like you trying to live for God. You approach him in a whole nother level. You approach him by faith in the name of Jesus. Boy, this is humbling stuff. Faith in the name of Jesus to break that spiritual pressure off your mind. It's humbling. But I'll tell you, that's where the power is. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I love what it says. You know, when I'm resisting the devil, I don't just go off and start resisting the devil. I submit to God. Then I resist the devil, and then he flees from me. So before I ever resist the devil, I'll give you a precept again this morning. How do I do this in real life? Resisting the devil. This is what I do first to submit myself to God. Hebrews 4 says, seeing then we have a great high priest, Jesus, who's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is how I submit to God before I resist the devil. I will just come boldly before the throne of grace with my hand in the air. And I'll say, Heavenly Father, I'm about to resist the devil. And I submit myself to you. And I ask you right now for mercy and grace to help in this time of need. I ask Heavenly Father for grace, strength to do what I know to do and to resist the devil. I am submitted to you. It also, it says to obtain mercy, find grace to help. There are times I've had to come before the throne of grace and I'm dealing with the spirit of fear, and I know why I'm dealing with the spirit of fear, because I've opened the door in my mind to the enemy. All right? And so there are some times that I'll come first for mercy. Say, Father, I opened that door. I knew better. You told me. But I opened it anyway. I'm sorry. I closed that door, Father God. I receive mercy and grace, Father, for that. And now, see, because if your conscience is bothering you, it's very difficult to take your authority in Christ if there's something bothering your conscience. So that's why I submit to God. My conscience is clear. My conscience is strong, cleansed. There's nothing bothering my conscience. If there's anything bothering God, that's what the mercy's for. Because whatever it is, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead. You maintain righteous in your spirit, you understand? But your conscience is cleansed by the power of the blood from those dead works, and it restores a righteousness consciousness in your mind as you receive mercy. And one thing you know, as you are cleansed, he's faithful and just. I receive that cleansing, praise God. I'm ready to go. Conscience isn't bothering me anymore at all. All I see is blood. I see cleansed, blood washed, hallelujah, holding my head up in faith, in thanksgiving for the grace of God. Now I'm graced to help, that strength. And so I'll go before the Father. I'm kind of got off a little bit. But sometimes you need mercy, is all I'm saying. There are some things that are going on, and I know I brought it on a little bit because I did some things. I've sown wrong. And so I will deal honestly. Because when you deal honestly about those things, it gives you authority and confidence when it comes to the resisting part. All right? So this is all part of submitting myself to God. First thing I'm doing, I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace, and I'm getting it right with God. We had a whole message, or kind of whole series this last summer on the secret place. That's what I'm doing. First things first, secret place stuff. Here I am, Father God. Thank you. I receive right now by faith in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'll put my hand up like this, visually, just so in my own mind I can get a visual of what's going on in the spirit. I will say, Father, I thank you, I receive mercy, and I receive grace to help right now, Father. As I resist the devil in your name, I thank you that I have the grace to help in this time of need, the need to resist. And so, Father, I commit myself and I submit myself to you. And then what I'll do at that moment where I've submitted, I will literally go, now in Jesus' name, I break the power of that fear. In Jesus' name, I break the power of that confusion. In Jesus' name, I can and I will do the will of God, and your power is broken. Right there, I'll just say a couple things. And then, position three, my hand goes back in the air again. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, that thing is broken. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that I have that confidence that that thing is broken in Jesus' name. And that your name is above every name, and it's above the name of that thing. And I rejoice and I thank you, Father God. I am free from the power of that now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God at the throne of grace. I didn't used to always do it that way. When I got to this part where I'd resist, I'd start to monologue with the devil. Start get mad at him. Tell him all the things that I was going to do to him. And it is not your job to back the name of Jesus. And you can very subtly get into a form of trying to back his name with your anger and your frustration and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I found out it resists the power. I am stopping the power with my anger and my resisting and all that stuff. And I'm very subtly really trying to even convince myself that the name of Jesus is working. No. No, 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 no. This part's going to be very... This part was very quick for Paul, wasn't it? In Jesus' name, your power is broken. That's it. No monologuing. No, Satan wants you to monologue. You understand? He wants to talk to you a little bit. He wants you to talk to him. That's great. But what he can't stand is when you just resist him in Jesus' name and then you go back to praising God. And you just leave him with the name of Jesus. If you want to monologue, monologue with the name of Jesus. I'm praising God, it's done. That's faith in Jesus' name. Things get broken when I put my trust in that name. I'm not trying to back his name. I invoke his name. But I don't back his name. Do you understand? My personal bank account isn't big enough. I need his bank account according to his riches and glory through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not backing his name. I'm invoking it, and I'm getting out of the way so God by his power can back his name, and I in faith rejoice it's done. Praise God. There is something about getting really spiritual minded and happy and rejoicing and counting it all joy and getting in faith. Praise God. It just unleashes the faith and the power of resisting that's going on. Hallelujah. So that act of resisting, I'm submitting myself to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, here I am coming boldly before the throne of grace. Lord, I need grace to resist right now. You know, you don't always want to resist. It takes faith to resist. You think, oh, I want to be free from this. Well, you get in your head, the enemy, your flesh likes stuff. It likes to fight. It likes to argue. It likes to quarrel. Just, you know, one more round, you know. No, I want to be free from this. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for grace to resist. I receive grace to help to resist right now in my time of need. Satan, I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to flee according to the power of the name and the word of God. Father God, I thank you that it's done. Praise you, Jesus. My hand is lifted in praise and confidence, knowing that I have the things that I have desired of you. This is the confidence that if I ask anything according to your will, I know you hear me. I've asked in the name of Jesus, according to the will of God, for that to be broken off in your name, and it's broken. Praise God, and I rejoice in it. Do you understand? When you resist the devil, when I resist the devil, and again, this is I got to correct myself a little bit. You know, I think you're kind of out here and you're fighting the devil and you're kind of tough guy. I don't fight the devil off here by myself. I go to the throne of grace. I submit myself to the Father at the throne of grace. I resist at the throne of grace in my Father's lap. Praise God. In Jesus' name. And I praise my Father in his lap for his faithfulness. You understand? Resisting the devil isn't you against the world with the name of Jesus. It's you in the throne room getting the grace to help right there in the presence of God, exercising your authority in his name and giving him glory in Jesus' name. These things are not tough guy stuff. This isn't no testosterone required to do this kind of stuff. That's not a weapon of your warfare that's powerful through God. It's faith in the name of Jesus. And it's amazing how less is more when it comes to resisting. Don't get caught trying to back his name. You just resist. And you want to say a lot, you just make it your praise and your thanksgiving to God. Get into a worship session with your Heavenly Father at the throne of grace over his faithfulness. You'll find the power being broken off. I love the proverb says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe. That's good. That's what it is. The name of the Lord, it's a strong tower. It's a safe place. And then finally, proclaiming the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Praise God. We're going forward. There's a proclamation that we do in the name of Jesus. A lot of times we think, oh, I want to win this person. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. I know there's a lot of persecution that happens because of that name. But we are also told that we are to proclaim that name. 1 Peter 3:15-16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You know, what is he saying? He said, just kind of have you know, this is a good instruction right here. If someone were to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus. What is he saying here? You know, be ready to give a defense. And you know, here's the defense of the hope that is in you. Basically, primarily, it's your testimony. How did you come to know the Lord? It's the message of the cross, Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. How did you come to that? There is nothing quite so powerful as when somebody's asking you about the hope that is in you to be able to say, you know, there just came a point in my life, or a time when I just realized, you know, life is bigger than me. To be able to just communicate and share, what is your testimony? What is the hope? We're down here to proclaim that name. In fact, that's why we're down here. We're down here to let people know. So what happened to you in the glorious new birth can happen to them. Romans 10, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and your heart. The word which we preach, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is so, so powerful. We're here to proclaim the name of the Lord, to let people know that there is a name that they can call upon. His name is Jesus. We minister the truth of God's word so that they understand that he died for them and they believe on him, 2 Corinthians. But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world is blind, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness and has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are down here to proclaim the name of Jesus. We are down here to be fishers of men. And really, you'll find that when you're fishing in the natural, they're not always biting. And sometimes you're working in an area and you got to be patient. But you know, this is something, an area where we can come in and realize that, you know, praise God, that name that has saved me, that name that means so much in my life, is a name that I carry to proclaim and to let people know that they can have that name too. To let people know the good news, the gospel. The gospel is good, good news of what Jesus did for us. To be able to have that in our hearts, to communicate it. Nor is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. This is just talking about persecution. You're going to get persecuted for it. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down, throw you out, or speak lies about you or discredit me. What that means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For although they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds, and know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. What are we talking about? That is just persecution that's going to come as a result of that name. There are going to be times you can proclaim the name of Jesus and people are going to be drawn in. There are going to be times when people reject you. It doesn't mean that when people reject you, you did it wrong or that you said it wrong. Do you understand? Not at all. There are just times God is going to lead you and guide you. The Apostle Paul himself preached the gospel. The Bible says some believed, some believed not. There were times the Apostle Paul got laughed at and mocked while he's preaching the gospel right there in Athens. All right? Some people believed it. It's going to be the same with you. Some people will respond. Some people won't respond. And to realize that, hey, you know what? You're just down here to proclaim the name. You are down here to give the opportunity. So in your heart, that's a great thing to pray. Father, I know I'm down here. I know I'm part of this great commission to go into all the world. Just show me, Lord, how you would use me. Show me, and you'll have people, friends, that God will put in your heart to pray for. And then like a skilled fisherman, show me how to weave you into the conversation, how to weave you into the discussion, how to proclaim your name in it. The name of Jesus. You know, really what I wanted to get through this morning mainly is that praying in Jesus' name, our authority, things are going to get done as we pray in Jesus' name. Our trust is in the name of the Lord. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. Praying according to his will. Praise God. I'm not waiting. I don't need anything in the natural to line up for my prayers to get answered if I'm praying in faith in Jesus' name according to the word of God. That's the confidence that I have in him. And my trust is in his name. Praise God. And I begin rejoicing. I begin rejoicing because I have that confidence in his name. Same with resisting. I'm resisting. This is all faith stuff. I'm submitting myself to God at the throne of grace. I'm resisting in Jesus' name very quickly. No monologuing. No trying to do things in my own strength. All right? The Lord showed me a picture one time. I don't know if you guys ever saw the Andy Griffith Show, the Barney Fife. Ed, you look like Barney Fife when you start monologuing with the devil. You know, He loves that. You're like a comedy routine for him. When you try to back the name, you know, that's kind of how he, okay, good. Good enough. Good enough illustration. I don't want to look like Don Knotts. I'm resisting in Jesus' name, and I'm back on task. I'm at the throne of grace, rejoicing, praise God. It's not my power, it's his power from beginning to end. It's not my volume, it's not my drama, it's faith in the name. Praise God, it's done. And then there's a proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. There's a, I'll just kind of close real quick with a popular song that's actually on the radio right now, or recently, called The Only Name. It goes, yours will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need to feel my Father smiling on me, the only name that matters to me. Yours is the name that has saved me, mercy and grace, the power that forgave me. Your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story, there will be one name that I proclaim, Jesus, 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 just that name. Praise God. When I think of my mom when I hear this song, because I tucked her in bed that night. We chatted for 2 hours, tucked her in bed, told her I loved her, told me I love you, Eddie, and gave her a good night kiss. And the next time she opened her eyes and woke up, she was in the land of glory. And I think about that. When my body leaves my spirit, I'm going to wake up in the land of glory. Somebody once described it like this. You know, you're a little kid and you're going home on a long trip. We just had this happen with Abby when we were coming back from Tulsa. She wanted to stay awake the whole trip. She couldn't. She fell asleep, and then she woke up in her bed, you know. And that's kind of the way it is, you know. But I'm telling you what, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about that name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's power in that name. It's a name of love. When your spirit leaves your body and you're in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who made us kings and priests to our God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't have to wait till I get to the third heaven to proclaim that name. I can proclaim it right now. Praise God, and let people know the joy and the love that I've found, the good news of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Everything we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, that name, that precious name that has been given to us, a spiritual authorization to conduct spiritual business with that name. Father, I pray for each one of us to get a revelation of how precious, how beautiful, and how practical that name is. It is a weapon of our warfare that is powerful through God, to receiving from God, to moving mountains, to resisting the enemy, to letting people know the goodness of your grace. Father, we thank you for that precious name this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father, to grow in our understanding, to not be squeamish about using your name to ask for things, to ask for stuff, to not be squeamish to ask for things on behalf of ourselves personally, on behalf of our nation, for other people to intercede with that name. Father, you've given us authority to get things done, to get your will done in the earth. Help us to see the power we have in your name to do just that, and to resist the enemy, those powers, those principalities. Help us, Father, to stop the monologuing and to just by faith crawl up in your lap at the throne of grace and receive grace to help. Mercy, grace. Oh, we can come boldly. It is 24/7. Glory to God. And from that place of grace, we on purpose resist in your name, knowing that you back your name as we give praise and glory and honor to you for having backed your name. Father, help each one of us to proclaim that name that is above every name. Make us good fishermen. Lord, show us how to be crafty
in getting the love of God in front of people's eyes, that they can see and know that there is a God in heaven who just absolutely loves them. We thank you for these things, Heavenly Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.